Praise Him for what you're trusting Him for. Hallelujah. Praise Him because you still need and desire, and you're waiting for the promise of God to come into fruition in your life. Amen. The Lord is good. Well, if there are any ladies here and you would like to attend our ladies' session, that is beginning now. It is across the courtyard in building number 4. Oh, it's in the chorus room. Oh, I'm so sorry. It is in the chorus room, which is directly behind this stage. So just follow the hallway all the way to the very back, the first hallway, and you will end up in the chorus room. Men, I guess you can either stay where you are or you can move closer. That's totally up to you. if you can receive it from that far away, then that's fine. I'll do my best to dish it out. All right. If you're a man, shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's look into the Word of the Lord. I'm not going to read a text. I'm going to just start teaching, and then I'll get to my text eventually. But let's pray right now. Lord, we are so thankful to be in your wonderful presence. We believe that you're with us. We believe that you are guiding this church, that you are, Lord, you are making this church what you want it to be. Lord, it's not what we want, it's what you want, Lord, because you are Lord, you're God. And we believe, Lord, in your counsel. We believe that your counsel will stand. We believe in what you're doing, Lord Jesus. Although we don't understand, we trust you, Lord Jesus, that you will carry us and guide us and continue to build this church and make us what we need to be, Lord, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, we love you. Help us to receive the word today. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk, I guess this will be a part two of a lesson I taught a few months ago. I taught this class, The Spirit of a Servant. Not just serving by obligation or by following a letter or a manual, but actually developing the spirit of a servant. And so today I want to talk about how we can serve one another. Okay? Now, you and I know we live in a world where, you know, we're surrounded by selfish people. In fact, the guy in the mirror is probably very selfish also. I know the guy in my mirror in my bathroom is very selfish. I want, you know, what I want, when I want it, how I want it, and so forth. I want to have my way, and that's just human nature. We tend to be very, very selfish. And we tend to look out for number one. You probably heard the expression, every man for himself, haven't you? And many in our world, especially outside the church, are seeking to be the top dog, the best of the rest, the kingpin, the strongest, you know, the best looking, the most popular, you know, get the best position, make the most money. So in our world, there's a lot of strife, a lot of striving in our world, a lot of competitiveness in the world. But it shouldn't be this way in the church, because the church is the body of Christ, and we should exemplify the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, not initially. It's not going to happen from our inception, but through God developing and building speaking and imparting things into our lives through the Spirit and through the ministry and the Word of the Lord, we will become like He was in the days of His earthly ministry. When we look at that and observe His life, His attitude, His ministry, the church should emulate the ministry and the attitude, the behavior, the life, the spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we all should agree that Jesus Christ was the greatest servant of all, the greatest servant of all. Amen. The human body is like the church. It's put together properly, and it should function to take care of itself. I was thinking this morning that I woke up today. I determined that I'm going to get out of bed, and I determined that I'm going to get in the shower. I'm going to wash. I'm going to cleanse myself. I determined that I'm going to put on some deodorant, brush my teeth, maybe put on a little cologne. I determined that I'm going to put some clothes on. I'm going to get dressed for the occasion. Now, I'm not going to stay in a slumber, but I'm going to get up and involve myself in the activity of this day. And so I got up, I got dressed, or I got my shower, I got dressed, I cleaned up, ate a little breakfast, talked to the Lord, and, you know, just made myself ready. And what I'm saying is this: your body is put together in such a way that it instinctively takes care of itself. When I get hurt, I'm going to do everything in my power to take care of my hurt, my pain, or my injury, because I care for myself. And it should be the same way in the church. If you're hurt, I'm going to try to help take care of your hurt. Amen. If you're hungry, I'm going to try to feed you. If you're naked, I'm going to try to clothe you. Amen. If you can't see, I'm going to try to guide you. Amen. We're the body, and we should have the same care one for another as we do our own body. Amen. Sometimes we need help dressing up. Sometimes we need help, feeding ourselves and washing ourselves and so forth, and just getting prepared for the day and for the activities that are before us. Excuse me. Amen. So we need to understand that as the members of the body of Christ, we are called to take care of each other. In fact, if we don't take care of each other, we will fail. The mission, the ministry will fail. We are called by God and instructed and led of the Spirit to take care of ourselves. Amen. To take care of the needs that are among us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And I'm going to just be rehearsing a few verses today. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren," he is speaking to us, the church, he says, "you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Okay? We understand that you can have something and misuse it, take advantage of it. And he is saying, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, to get what you want, to get ahead. Don't misuse or abuse this liberty that we have been given in the kingdom. But then he ends the verse by saying, "but by love." Everybody say, "by love, serve one another." I'm going to say that one more time. By love, serve one another. By what? Not by the letter, not by a rule book, not by obligation, not out of a guilty conscience, not because you need something to do, but by love, serve one another. Amen. Take care of each other. Minister to the needs that are among us. And of course, and I say this by observation, my own opinion, it seems easier to serve upward, such as to leaders and those we feel are of high status and high regard, such as pastors and leaders and preachers, evangelists, and so forth. Sometimes we had rather serve up than to serve in any other direction. You know, some of us understand that there's benefit, there's blessings when you serve up. You take care of the man of God, the woman of God, the leader in your life, and we should. But the Bible instructs us that not only should we take care of those who are our overseers and our elders and our ministers, our, you know, pastors, you know, the fivefold ministry, but according to the scripture, we are to take care and serve one another. Amen. Somebody say, I'm called by God and I'm filled by God to serve my brother and to minister to their needs. Amen. And that is the Bible. And that's regardless, you know, of someone's status. When you walk in the Spirit, he's not referring to walking in the gifts. When the Bible says you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, he's not talking about walking in power and walking in authority. He is talking about walking in love. Because God is love. And Jesus Christ personified that. And so when you walk in the Spirit, you are walking in the love of God. And if you are led by love, you will not fulfill the lust and the desires of your flesh, which is very selfish and greedy. All right. I guess I'm talking to myself today. Is this all right so far? All right. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, serve one another. And of course, Jesus understood serving like no other. He suffered and he sacrificed that he might serve and save others. He exemplified the scriptures which say, love your neighbor as yourself. Not in word or in tongue, but he said, in deed and in truth. I pray for you that the Lord might bless you with some groceries. No, if you have groceries, then share them with those who do not have them. Amen. How can we say that we have the love of God in our heart if we see our brother in need and we don't do anything about it? You know, prayer is not the answer to everything. Huh? It's not the answer to everything. It may be involved in everything that we do. We involve prayer. We communicate with God and we let God communicate through us. But we need to take action after we prayed. Amen. If you see something that needs to be taken care of, don't just, you know, well, the parking lot is really dirty. I need to call Pastor and notify him of this. I need to let Pastor Kyle know that the baptism is dirty. And that's what we tend to do, don't we? We tend to do that. But why not let's find out how we can fix it, how we can clean it, so that the pastor can continue ministry as far as in the word, in prayer. Are you hearing me? All right. I tell you what, I'm very, very thankful for the young people, the young adults, and the young ministers that I have working with me, because they and I told one of them today, he's in his 20s now, and when I came, he was about 10 or 11. And I told this young man today, because he works tirelessly, and I told him, I said, son, you don't realize how much of a blessing you are to not only this church, but to the leadership of this church. I said, if it weren't for people like you, we would totally burn out physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You are saving us by your work and your labor and your service. And so I wanted to let him know that your labor is not in vain. We appreciate it. And even more, God appreciates it. And God is going to reward you. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Love indeed and in truth. Jesus, of course, modeled the ministry of the Good Samaritan. When the priest passed by, the Levite passed by, the Samaritan saw the injured man that was left naked and half dead, and he went to him. He stooped. He picked that man up. He bandaged him. He took care of his physical needs. Amen. He put him on the beast of burden. He took him to an inn, paid for it. This man was a servant. He didn't have to do it, but there was something in him. The Bible says when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. Amen. In fact, I feel
that perhaps this Samaritan was that man at one time. I feel that that Samaritan, perhaps there was a day and a time and a season in his life where he was broken, where he didn't have much, and he felt like life had got the best of him, and he was left, amen, without the proper garments and without the proper needs in his life being taken care of. And because he had been there, he had walked that same path, amen. Perhaps he had some things stolen from him. Now, because of his experience, he can look on someone else with pity and empathy and sympathize, amen, and help take care of that person's needs. I think, brother, I'm not going to, you know, I don't know, Brother Waller, all the things that you've been through, but obviously you've been through some hard times, and you are able to reach people that are going through hard times, and you're able to understand where they're coming from. And what an incredible ministry that he has to those that don't have food, they don't have enough clothes, they don't have a place to live. Thank God there's people in the church that have been there and they've been delivered, and now they're reaching out for those people. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8. Says, finally, he says, be. That word stood out to me today when I read that. He says, be ye all of one mind. Be in accord. Be unified in your thinking. Be of one mind. Then he said, have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. Serving one another should not be the result of guilt and just trying to feel and occupy some time in the day. But I personally believe if you can walk in the Spirit, not just have the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit, get the mind of Christ, God is going to show you what you can be doing to help the members of the body of Christ. Say amen. Amen. And of course, we do this by the love of God. I don't think that we are born with the natural ability to love everybody. Okay? I think that if we're going to love everybody, we must have God's love. Huh? Amen. Because in my natural state, I there's a lot of people I just don't even like them. Or I don't like what they do or what they say or their way of life. But I'm finding out that God loves them. And if I can tap into that love, amen, if I can embody that love, then I can reach them, I can touch them, I can talk to them, I can look past all of the things that I'm not happy or pleased with, because God's love has no respect to persons. Amen. God's not intimidated. He's not afraid, because the Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. So our Lord isn't afraid to deal with anybody. It doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter, amen, if they don't know who their daddy is. It doesn't matter to him. He's not afraid. He's not intimidated. He's just driven by love. Amen. Love leads him to you and I. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we live our lives led by the love of God? I'm telling you, what a service, what a ministry we would have, not only to each other, but to this world. Amen. In fact, when you love your neighbor as yourself, love God first, and through his love you love your neighbor as yourself, you have fulfilled the entire law. That's right. In fact, the Bible says if you are able to bear each other's burdens, you have fulfilled the law. You have fulfilled the law. Amen. And we do that by the power of God's love. There are many ways to serve each other. And I'm talking about within the family of God. I'm going to run through this list because I'm very limited in time today. But if you are taking note, these are some things that you and I need to consider and perhaps even reconsider. Here are some ways that I personally feel that we can serve and minister and help take care of our brother. Now, when I say brother, I'm not talking about gender, the male gender. I'm talking about our brethren, the family of God. All right? We're serving one another when we protect one another's name and reputation. When you and I can protect each other's name and reputation, then we're serving our brother. Do I need to explain that? I think we're all adults and we should all understand that statement. We're serving one another when we pray and when we intercede for each other. We can't pray just because we feel like it. Amen. Because there's a lot of times I don't feel like praying. Praying takes effort. It really does. And in fact, if you're really going to pray and talk to God, you got to tune everything else out and have a genuine conversation with God. And I believe that God will give us direction in our time of prayer. Not always, because there's a lot of times that we will talk to God and we won't hear nothing. But then later on in the day, He gives us the answer or He gives us direction. You see, God speaks in His own time. We don't twist God's arm and say, tell me, you know, like our daughters do to us dads, you know. Come on, Dad, you know, I got to have this. I got to have it now, you know, go to the store and get this. You see, God don't always operate the way us humans operate. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. He's got His own agenda. We just need to tap in and tune in so that His agenda is implemented in our daily lives. All right, here we go. We're serving one another when we help lighten the load and share or bear the burden. Amen. We all have burdens, and it's such a treat when I can have someone help me bear this burden and share the burden. I'm telling you what, I'm so glad that we have more than two people setting up this platform every service. We set up every Wednesday and every Sunday. And I'm glad that you're not by yourself. I'm glad that you're not by yourself. I'm glad we've got a team of people that are working together to get something accomplished so that we can have the church that we want to have on every given Sunday or Wednesday. Amen. We're doing this not to get points, not to get praise. We're doing this as a service to you, so that you can be blessed and you can feel the presence of God and you can enjoy the service and the ministry and the preaching. Amen. It's a good thing to work together and to share the burden and the load and the responsibility of the church. We're serving one another when we support and help others accomplish their ministry and their responsibility. Isn't that wonderful? You thought it was just about you and your ministry. Huh? You know what your ministry is? To take care of your brother. That's right. Now, I know there's a calling in you, and I know there's gifts in you, and you know there's a you have a spiritual destiny, and you have things that you know God wants you to accomplish. You have your spiritual assignment. But according to the scripture, I'm to serve my brother. I'm to help minister to the needs of my brother. Because if I can't take care of my brother, how are we as the church going to take care of the needs outside these four walls? A weak church will have a weak ministry, but a strong church will have a strong ministry. So if we're strong on the inside, then what we do on the outside will be effective. Amen. Praise God. I feel like I'm sowing some corn right now. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to have to skip a few here. Let's see here. I actually taught this about a month or two ago to our younger men in our guys session. And I just thought it was worthy of repeating and teaching in here. Now, I know all of you know this and you practice this every day. But I just felt to remind you. Amen. Is that all right? Okay, can I hear from somebody in the back? Just say, hey, I hear you. All right, amen. Good to see you, Brother Huggins back there. God bless you, sir. Amen. We're serving our brother when we help provide for their needs. I like what Brother Winslow said. He was here a few months ago. He said him and his wife, I can't remember if it was him and his wife and his son. He's, you know, they were going through a very difficult season in their life. And it'd been several days and they hadn't had anything to eat. And like 5 days later, a lady come by and said, you know, I just felt to bring you some food. And then the lady got to talking and she said, you know, I felt like I needed to do this about 5 days ago. So here they are, 5 days later, you know, no food. And then of course, it shows up. So I think the Lord has a way of prompting us and putting something in our mind, our thought life, on our heart, so that we can help minister to the needs of our brother. He wouldn't have had to fast for 5 days if that woman of God would have listened to the Lord the first day. Amen. So we are our brother's keeper. And if we're not our brother's keeper, then our brother won't be kept unless the Lord commands the ravens to feed the dude. All right. The bro, the sister, the family. All right. This is a good one here. You ready for this? We're serving our brother by refusing to take sides and cause division. Whew, that's a tough one. You got to be neutral. What I mean by neutral is you got to be on the Lord's side. You know, because there may be a conflict in the family of God. You know, there may be a conflict in leadership. There may be a conflict in the Sunday school department. But I ain't taking nobody's sides but Jesus. Because Jesus is always right. Amen. Mama's fighting against daddy. I ain't taking mama's side. I ain't taking daddy's side. I'm on Jesus' side. Amen. Y'all can work it out. I'll help pray for you, but I ain't talking about that one, and I'm not talking about that one. I'm going to serve my brother the way Jesus would serve them. And I refuse to take sides and refuse to gossip, amen, and cause division. Is that all right? All right. I'm serving my brother by making sure they know the truth. That don't mean you have to be the one that teaches them all the truth. We do have adequate ministers and teachers and leaders here. But just make sure your brother knows the truth. Get them to church. Don't just say, oh, you know, they don't love God. They can't even make it to Sunday school. Well, call them. Find out. They might need a ride. You might can serve your brother by offering them transportation. Isn't that right? All right. Get them on the handlebars, that bicycle. Put a little extra air in your tire before you do that. Because, you know, you may have a breakdown. And then Brother Merrick can come by with his truck and pick both of you up. Praise the Lord. All right, let me skip down a few things here. We're serving our brother by quickly forgiving them and being merciful to them. Joseph, of course, was a good example of this. Because if we refuse to give and show mercy, you're serving yourself and not God, and certainly not your brother. Amen. Learn to apologize. Learn to come to the rescue. Learn to intervene. Amen. When Jesus said, when you've done it to the least, when you've done it to the least, you've done it to me. Notice he didn't say the greatest. When you've done it to, you know, those of high status. He said, when you've done it to the least, you've done it to me. And when he says the least, he is referring to those of lesser authority. Huh? They don't have the rank as some of the elders and leaders, and they seem to be insignificant, and they're unnoticed, and no one recognizes them. But Jesus said, if you've done it to the least, the one that nobody knows, and it seems like nobody even cares about, Jesus is saying, I notice, and if you've done it to the least, you've done it to me. And if you've done it to me, you're going to get my blessing. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. And I wrote this down. I thought it was good. If we can't serve the least, we're not worthy to serve the greatest. If you can't stoop to serve the least, in my book, you're not even worthy to serve the greatest. Serving others is love in action. God so loved the world that he gave. that he served, that he ministered, that he sacrificed. Amen. That's what brothers and family members do. We take care of each other. Let me give you a quick example here, and I'm going to bring this to an end. We are unified, and therefore we should work together like a team. Amen. Because if we're not, our power, wonder work and power. I love it when things come together. You still with me? All right. All right. What was I saying here? Excuse me. It's important that we as a team work together as a team so that we can be successful. And if we are a team and we work together as a team, we're able to be efficient, proficient, productive, fruitful. And guess who gets the credit? The owner. The owner of the team gets the credit. Now, I know there's some praise and honor to the coaches. We got some good coaches and managers here. But ultimately, it's the owner that gets the glory because it's his church. Amen. And when we become like him, it just makes him happy. That's my boy. If Jesus is the rock, then we're just a chip off the old block. I thought it was pretty good. All right, here we go. As a team, we need to realize some things. We are brethren. We're family. We're a team. We're a body. But we're not all the same. I'm glad I'm not like you. Now, I don't say that with arrogance. I want to provoke you to think. You know, I'm glad everybody's not like you. I'm glad everybody's not like me. Because if everybody was like me, we'd just be going around in circles. You know, we need two hands. We need a left hand and a right hand. I need a right foot and a left foot. I need the left side of my brain and the right side of my brain. I don't care what the scientists say. I use my whole brain. Maybe not much, but at least I try. Amen. Learn to appreciate and respect the differences that are among us. In this congregation, there's a diversity of calling, gifts, ability, strengths, talents. You know, there's diversity among us. And I feel that a good team should learn to respect and value and appreciate the differences among the team. Not everybody can be the quarterback, okay? Not everybody can, call the plays. Not everybody can call the plays, okay? On the team, we need some linemen. We need some offensive, men. We need some defensive men. We need somebody to hike the ball. I'm just giving you an example, okay, using football here, all right? I don't know a lot about it. I just know, one of the teams are going to win at the end of the day, and they're going to make a lot of money. Hello? That's a shame. But somebody's got to guard the quarterback, got to protect, got to block. Someone's got to run the ball. Someone's got to catch the ball. But ultimately, it's the combined, concerted effort of the team that makes the entire team successful. And if the team doesn't work together and they're always arguing and trying to get the best spot and just you're saying, well, somebody else will take care of that, then the team is not as successful. And if the team isn't successful, the enemy could get the advantage. And the enemy could score. I don't want the enemy to score. I want to win. I want to win. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6 gives us a great example of this, and I'm closing in the next couple of minutes. Let me start with chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 demonstrates the commonality among the church. The Bible says they were of one heart, of one soul, and they had all things common. And all of the needs among them were eventually taken care of by the church. Amen. Acts chapter number 6, another good example of serving one another. The Grecians were upset because their widows were being neglected. Evidently, there was a food bank and some type of food distribution, feeding, taking care of the widows. The Grecians were upset and thought that, you know, you guys just prefer your own and you're not taking care of us, you know, just because we were born somewhere else. You know, we're being overlooked. And there was some murmuring and some disputes among the church. Needs were not being met. And so they went to the leadership and they told the leadership what was happening. The leadership said, okay, you guys need to pick out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, and a good report, and appoint them, put them over this matter. Because it is not wise, it is not good for us to leave the ministry of prayer and the Word of God to serve tables. It's not that we're above it. It's just if we do that, then we're going to burn out because we're trying to pray and hear the voice of God and help build the church and establish the work of God and teach and disciple and deploy the spiritual soldiers. And we're trying to do our calling, fulfill our calling, but yet we're overburdened with all these other things that you guys can be doing. And so they organized, they appointed, and all the needs were taken care of. And as a result of that, the Bible says, and the word of God increased and the disciples multiplied. Amen. Because there was proper ministry and service within the body of Christ. Somebody shout amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Don't be like Cain and get jealous and grow to despise or depreciate your brother. Don't be like Joseph's unsupportive brothers who belittled and rejected him and tried to drown and take away his dream. I think we got one dream around here, and it's the dream that comes from heaven that's been deposited in the spirit of this church. And we need to follow the dream of God and see his will accomplished. And here's some tips of wisdom. Treat others like Jesus would treat them. Love, respect, desiring the best for them, being patient, being understanding. And always exercise gentleness with them. Be the kind of person that you love and respect. Now, I'm not talking about some Hollywood store. A Hollywood star, rather. But be the kind of person that you love and that you respect. Hopefully that's Jesus. Look at him. Look at the life of Jesus Christ. And learn to emulate his life, his ministry. And let's take care of each other. Let's serve one another. Let's take care of each other. Let's serve one another. I want to help you in your ministry. I want to help you fulfill the will of God in your life. Don't make a list and just say, I'm going to do this and this. Let God lead you. God will put it on your heart what you need to be doing and who you need to be talking to. Amen. You know, in fact, I want to tell you one of the reasons why ministers burn out, both male and female, is because they're doing your job. Oh, Pastor Kyle's the only one that can, you know, go to the hospital and, you know, okay, I got 1,000 people and Pastor Kyle's going to make all the hospital visits. Not. If he tries to do that, he's going to go crazy. He's going to burn out. But if I can help him. I tell you what, there's some people, I'm not going to call names, but oh, it just thrills my soul to see some of the men and women in this church that have no title, but yet they're there at the hospital. They're there pleading the blood. They bring their Bible to the hospital. Now, we may have to teach them some etiquette, and kind of guide them a little bit. But at least they're there and they have the spirit of a servant. And they're ministering to the needs of their brothers and sisters in Christ. They're like Jesus. It's not about washing feet. It's about serving your brother. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for His word. Father, we love you today. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us and demonstrating to all of us what it is to be a servant. Help us, Lord, by the love of God, to serve one another and to take proper care of each other so that we can be strong, so that we can be nourished, so that we can be clothed, so that we can be hydrated, so that we can be the people that we need to be and reach this lost world. In Jesus' name, I receive your word. And everybody said amen. God bless you. We're going to take a few moments. It's about 9 minutes till 3. We're going to take a few moments. Make sure you pick up your children from Sunday school, or make sure that they make it back into the auditorium. And we're going to